Another great event taking place tonight, 7 o'clock. Dr. George Saliba, professor of Arabic and Islamic science at Columbia University, will give a talk on the Arabic-Islamic impact on modern medicine and pharmacology at the Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences Student Center. While European science slept through the Dark Ages, intellectual developments in the Arab-Islamic world helped transform scientific thought, creating the foundation for modern empirical science and the scientific method. Dr. Saliba will discuss how these developments ultimately led to significant advances in pharmacology and medicine, and he joins us on the roundtable this morning for a preview of his talk tonight. Dr. Saliba, great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Wonderful to have you aboard on the program. As I said in the introduction, while European science slept through the Dark Ages, intellectual developments in the Arab-Islamic world helped transform scientific thought. How so? How was that? How did that happen?
Well, the best way, I think, to describe it first is not to exaggerate the sleepiness of Europe. They were sleeping, but not that deeply, by the way. they were doing as best as they could. But what was happening at the time, say, between the year 650 or so till about the year 1400, of our era, we were witnessing, if we were alive at that time, we would have been witnessing the spread of a tremendous empire, stretching all the way from Spain in the west, all the way to Central Asia, the borders of modern China. That empire actually brought about a variety of people, all of them speaking different languages, coming from different ethnic backgrounds and so on. And naturally, it became a melting pot, ideal melting pot for knowledge, for the exchange of information and so on. So in that process, whatever sciences that were to be found in the ancient civilizations, the Islamic civilization, with its widespread, made use of that material. But of course, very quickly realizing that it is not enough to just use ancient, obsolete material. They had to rejuvenate it, to recreate it, and to actually put their own imprint on it. It is this transformation that I think becomes the foundational basis later on that Renaissance Europe builds upon, rather than resorting to the old attempts that were done in the Latin West to recapture science and to rejuvenate it.
So let's talk about that imprint that they put on it. What was so important and distinct about that imprint?
Okay, it is in a variety of ways, varying all the way from discovery, for example, of particular diseases that were not known in the previous civilizations, or better yet, they were there, but they were not better diagnosed in the earlier civilizations. So we have physicians, say, in 10th century Baghdad, being able to determine exactly what distinguishes smallpox from measles, which I think all children know about it.
Sure.
And that the first time this distinction was made was done in 10th century Baghdad. Second, you have also physicians at the time beginning to look and at the heritage that they have received and asking, why couldn't the earlier authors actually produce effective medicine? And hence, beginning to articulate on how to test medicine, under what conditions a drug should be tested, and on how many populations, whether it is enough to have one person tested or to have more than one person. Hence, in a sense, they were setting the foundation of the kind of science and testing that we do nowadays, and that we can document it from manuscripts, from direct sources that have survived, all the way from between the 10th up to the 13th, 14th century, all of them written in Arabic. By the way, the talk I'll be giving today will be fully illustrated, so it will not be just a cheerleading for one physician over another. It will be, as a matter of fact, it will show the actual pages of the manuscripts in the Arabic as well as in the Latin translations, and all of them visually, easily determinable, that you could see who was doing what and when and for what purposes.
It seems like if there's a rub, it's coming to a general understanding with all parties involved of what effective medicine is, isn't it?
That is definitely the purpose of medicine, is to achieve that final result. Not all physicians, even our modern physicians, can claim that they can actually do it foolproof. But of course, there is continuous attempt of one physician building on the works of an earlier physician, looking at the same problem sometimes with slightly different prism, will allow you to see things that the previous people did not see. For example, we know that the ancient civilization, going all the way back to thousands of years before our era, have practiced what we would call nowadays surgery. But at no time did the art of surgery get distinguished from medicine and yet redefined within medicine, so that the surgeon would become an actual practicing physician, and at the same time adding this added skill to his craft. So this happens also about the 10th century in Islamic civilization, that the role of surgery itself was reconfigured to actually be part of medicine, and hence medicine requiring surgery as well. So the combination of the two is an innovation that was not practiced during ancient Greek civilization, for example, where the surgeons were always looked upon as handicraft men, people who actually get their hands dirty with blood and all of that, and no self-respecting physician would want to be confused with them. So it's these new prisms, new ideas, new ways of looking at things that actually allowed both medicine and surgery to progress and to actually produce the kind of science that we would like to have.
It's a fascinating topic and one that will be discussed tonight. Dr. George Saliba is professor of Arabic and Islamic Studies at Columbia University. The talk will be on the Arabic-Islamic impact on modern medicine and pharmacology. It takes place tonight at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences Student Center at 7 o'clock. Dr. Saliba, I thank you very much for being with us. It will be nice to have you in town, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
A great
Looking
pleasure.
Forward to it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.